Thank you, Ashlyn. What an amazing passage. It says it all. Like, we could just say amen and go home. Exit with some amazing worship. Thank you, worship team, for just leading us in into the presence of God. And we come here this morning to do that, to worship our amazing Father, the Creator God. My name's Ed DeSwan. And my wife, Elle, and I, we came to the Comox Valley just over a year ago, December 1st. We've been attending Living Hope Alliance Church since probably Easter, so just under a year now. And we came to the valley to rest. We came to the valley to have a sabbatical and to just be refreshed in God's presence. Over this past year, God has carried us. And he's been faithful, and he's strengthened us through surprising health issues that we encountered. We know that God is good. No matter what challenges we face, God is our rock. And we keep our eyes fixed on him. The first time I met Pastor Micah was probably a couple, two, 3 years ago, when we were on a Zoom meeting together of Alliance Churches. We were gathered together as small Alliance churches to talk about how are we coping with the pandemic? How are we able to, you know, continue to do church? And each of us had an opportunity to share what was going on in each of our churches. And Micah shared about his church. And I remembered that. And that was, I thought, oh, cool. You know, it was this faraway place that I just, cool, Micah. And the key thing that really caught my attention was Pastor Micah's dad taught me theology at CBC back in Regina. So I thought he must be a good guy because I love his dad. Micah and I met the second time when we were facing some challenges, and I said to Micah, hey, can you come and pray for us? And Micah did. And he didn't know who I was, really. I mean, we probably didn't remember that we saw each other on Zoom. But he came, and he had that pastor's heart to come and to pray, and he brought Yuri along with him. And that's great, because we don't want to do this on our own. You know, we want to bring people alongside us to love on and to pray for people. You guys, our community. So Micah, as we started attending and we were able to come to church, we slowly just came and went. But I was able to connect with Micah, and over time, Micah asked me if I would be interested in preaching over this, I think it was a couple months ago, and I'm going, it's been a while. Can I just pull out a sermon out of my pocket that I did like a couple years ago and streamline it for the local congregation here? But he had this idea of, well, why don't you join me in this series on Isaiah, which goes into Mark. And I like that about Micah, because Micah's not a guy who hangs onto the pulpit and says, this is mine and I'm not letting it go and I'm the only one going to preach. Micah is open to see a variety of people come and share what God's put on their heart, and invites them to come and let's do this series together. And we were hoping for one other guy or person to come along and preach, but turned out it was just me. But Micah, thank you. You know, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to share God's word with you this morning. In the past, when I would preach, I'd often ask the congregation questions. Helps you stay alert. Sometimes I can go on rabbit trails and I might put you to sleep, but if I ask you questions, you're going to go, oh, what's he going to ask? So be prepared. I might be asking you one or two questions throughout this message this morning. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for your compassion, for your love, for your mercy, and your mercy. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to us this morning, that you would draw us, into your presence. Lord, that we would know how loved we are by you, that we are chosen. Amen. I'm probably going to need help with this because I'm not going to remember to do it. Is that come up big there? Yes, it does. Great. It's really tiny back there. January 2nd, 1956 was the day the 29-year-old Jim Elliot waited for most of his life. He was on a short flight over the Ecuadorian jungle, almost 3 years of jungle ministry, and many hours of planning and praying had led Jim to this day. Within hours, he and four other missionaries would be landing, setting up camp in the in this dangerous territory of an uncivilized Indian tribe known as the Aucas. They're known today as the Wudini. The Aucas were not exactly the friendliest of people. If you were an outsider, you were killed. You didn't want to go into their territory. But even though it was dangerous, Jim Elliot had no doubt God wanted him to tell the Aucas about Jesus. As a little boy growing up in Portland, Oregon, Jim Elliot listened carefully as visiting missionaries would come and tell the stories of mission trips far away. He had dreamed about being a missionary himself one day. It saddened him to think of all the many peoples around the world that never heard the gospel message of Jesus. On February 2nd, 1952, at the age of 25, Jim Elliot started his trek to Ecuador. After being there for 6 months, he learned the Spanish language and he moved to a city called Xandahai, and where he learned Quechua. After 3 years of studying Quechua, many people became followers of Jesus. Jim now wanted to move into the territory of the Aucas. As I mentioned before, in the past, the Aucas had killed many Quechuas and also many oil workers that had a company that were drilling oil in a nearby territory. The company ended up shutting down because of fear that more of their workers would be killed. But Jim knew that the only way to stop the Aucas from killing was to tell them about Jesus. Jim and four other missionaries began to plan a way to show the Aucas that they were friendly. So the team delivered gifts, and this is really creative because one of the pilots, he had a plane and he flew circles around the Elka territory. And they thought, what can we do? You know, what can we do to tell them we're friendly? So they thought, you know what, we're going to give them gifts. So they lowered this, they had this long rope with a basket at the bottom, and they lowered gifts. You know, you could do that with a helicopter. I don't know how they did it with a plane, but I guess they somehow made these slow circles enough to be able to drop this basket down and deliver gifts. They did this for a long time, and eventually one day, a gift came back up. The Aucas had given them a gift. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was a parrot. What do you do with a parrot? Do you eat a parrot, or is it a pet? Not sure. The team eventually decided to build a base on the beach near the Elka village. And eventually, they felt it was time for a face-to-face meetup. They sent a message over the loudspeakers of the plane using the simple Elka phrases, inviting them to their camp on the beach. Some Elkas ended up coming and they enjoyed a wonderful meal together and thought, hey, we're making some good progress here. This is awesome. And then there was silence. They didn't hear anything for about 6 days. And after 6 days, they saw two women starting to come up, and Jim and Pete were so excited. Oh, there's somebody coming, finally. They went wading through the water to meet them, but as they got closer, they realized these women weren't looking friendly anymore. And then immediately behind them, they heard this terrifying cry behind them. They turned around and they saw the Elka warriors with their spears raised, all ready to throw them. Jim thought, what do I do? He reached for his handgun out of his pocket and he said, I could shoot them to try to save my own life. But he knew that as a team, they had said, we are not going to kill Elkas because they don't know Jesus. And in a split second, spears were thrown. And all five of those missionaries were killed. Despite those horrific deaths, the gospel carried on, and many others were inspired to go out as missionaries. Can you imagine in less than 2 years, Elizabeth Elliot, Jim's wife, and their daughter Valerie, along with Rachel Saint, which was Nate Saint, the pilot, his sister, they moved to the Elka village. Many Elkas became Christians. What a transformation. They are now a friendly tribe. As of 2022, missionaries, including Nate Sate's son and his family, still live among the Elkas. Father, we thank you for the work that you did through these five young men and their families. Thank you, Father, that you gave them a passion to communicate the gospel regardless of whether it cost them their lives. And Father, as we look at this passage this morning in Isaiah, I ask that you'd speak to us, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself, Lord, that we would be humble servants of you. We thank you, Father, for this amazing prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 42. We're going to look at the passage that Ashlyn read for us. In the book of Isaiah, there are four servant songs. The first one is found in Isaiah 42. And when I hear of servant songs, I get excited because I love songs. I love music. You know, and worship is something that God is really, that I really connect with God through worship. So when I hear the word songs, you've got my attention. Songs are a way of expressing our heart of love for God and the great truths about who He is. This morning we're going to look at the first song. The song is about bringing healing and restoring people, setting people free from sin, and bringing justice. You know, it's interesting how Moses delivered the people of Israel out of slavery of Egypt to the promised land. That was the first Exodus. And in Isaiah 42, and Micah's going to unpack this more, we begin to read about Isaiah's new Exodus, where Jesus delivers his people from bondage of sin into freedom, new life, and eternal life. So, first question. What comes to mind when you think of a servant today? The word servant, what comes to your mind? Just call it out. Butler?
An apron.
An apron, okay, good. Humility, good.
Obedience,
excellent.
Menial work,
yeah. What came to my mind was someone who cleans your house who cooks, runs your errands, one who's at your beck and call. They're there to serve you. Back in the Old Testament times, the word servant also included the idea of a trusted envoy, a confidential representative, or one who is chosen. I want to explore three questions this morning. Who is the servant in this passage? What are the qualities of this servant? And what is the servant's mission? Now, I was really hoping to get to point four, to our response in Isaiah 42. They just express holy, holy. They just expression of worship through song and sing to the Lord a new song. But we're going to have to wait for that another time because my sermon got too long and I had to just shorten it up a tweet just a little bit. So who is the servant? Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one. The one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. The servant is Jesus, the Messiah, which Jesus himself reveals in Matthew 12. I find this quite fascinating that Jesus was ministering to people and he's challenged by the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are not happy with what's going on. And Jesus replies to them, and I like the way Jesus often replies with scripture. Remember Jesus in the wilderness? He replied to the temptations with scripture. And here Jesus replied to the Pharisees who weren't happy with him for healing a man who had a shriveled hand. And Jesus responds by quoting Isaiah 42. Something that happened 700 years ago, he's quoting that. The servant's identity. Jesus was the foretold Messiah. The servant's identity is also found in the fact that Jesus was chosen by God. Continuing on in verse 1, my chosen one in whom I delight. Jesus, God's chosen one in whom I delight. And I think of the passage in the New Testament that says that we are a chosen people, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. But God chose Jesus, the one in whom he delights. And we know he delights in him. I don't know if you remember when Jesus was baptized and a voice from heaven came down and said, this is my son whom I love. And then at the transfiguration, it was almost the identical words. God spoke from a cloud and said, this is my son whom I love, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. We were already told back then to obey what Jesus tells us to do. So God is authenticating that Jesus is his son and that he is well pleased with him and that he delights in him. God also, it says in the tail end of that verse, that he put his spirit on him. We read about this in his baptism that I just referred to, and also Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 61. And we're going to hear more about this as Micah continues on in the Isaiah passage. Throughout Jesus' life, the Spirit of God was active in it from the very beginning. We just came through Christmas, and we read about the story of Jesus being conceived by the Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit was active all the way through Jesus' life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. As some of you know, my parents are getting on in age. I come from longevity. My mom is 95. My dad's turning 91 next month. However, they're getting older, quite old. It's quite funny to hear my mom say, you know, I'm getting old. She's been saying that for the last 30 years, you know. It's true, you're older than me. But as a result, they've been in this care home. They've been in this, not a care home. They should have been in a care home. They're in an independent living. And they need help. They need a lot of help. So my siblings and I were in the process of trying to find 24/7 live-in care to take care of them. Because if we don't do that, they'll end up being separated. And we don't want that to happen. So we think, well, what are the qualities that we want of somebody to live in with them? And some of those qualities we wrote down are a person with compassion, one who's a good listener, particularly a good listener to my parents' stories, even if they've told them to you again and again and again. And ultimately, we're looking for somebody who has really the qualities of a servant, the qualities of Jesus. So what are the qualities of a servant? What are the qualities you see in Jesus of a servant? Just call them out. He's humble, yeah? Patient. Loving. Kind. Awesome. Attentive, yeah. Meek, yeah. Understanding, yeah.
Loyal,
yeah. We see Jesus as a humble servant. He was concerned about doing the Father's will. In John 38, it says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me." We also find out that Jesus came to serve and not be served. It says in Mark, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus also came to teach and to heal. And I love the way Matthew puts this. Jesus was going around all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And as somebody mentioned, Jesus was humble. You know, we see Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And then he said to his disciples, "Do likewise." I want us to look back at verse 2. "He will not shout out or cry out or raise his voice in the streets." Jesus didn't draw attention to himself. He did not seek fame. You know, humility is the opposite of seeking attention. Have you ever brought attention to yourself? I know I have. Sometimes we feel we need to promote ourselves, but we must follow Jesus' example. Jim Elliot didn't seek his own glory. He was too interested in telling people about Jesus, even if it cost him his life. Today's world really isn't any different than the time the disciples walked the earth with Jesus. The disciples always didn't get it. Even though they were with Jesus, they didn't get it. And I think, well, guys, why don't you get it? And then I look at myself and I go, oh, why don't I get it? You know, they were concerned about position. They talked about themselves, and they were talking about where their place would be with Jesus. And then, guess who came along? James and John's mother. Yeah, she got on the bandwagon and said, "Hey, Jesus, you see my two boys here? What about if, you know, if you could pull some strings and you can have James and John on my left and right?" And Jesus responded by saying, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you must be a servant of all. You know, it's so easy for us as Christians even to spiritualize it and try to use human effort to maneuver our position or have someone do it for us to get what we think is God's will. If God is calling you to do something, He will orchestrate it. We don't have to maneuver our way in. If God's calling you to do something, He's going to make it happen. I love the tenderness of Jesus that comes through in this prophetic passage in Isaiah 42:3. A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. What an image. You know, a bruised reed, a stalk of grain that's been damaged, it's broken over, and it's useless without help. If you don't upright it, it's never going to bear fruit. And a smoldering wick is similar. It's either, you know, a candle that's been blown out, and you just have this smoldering wick, or it's run out of fuel in the lantern, and it's just smoldering. And the only way to revive it is for it to be refueled, to get help. Otherwise, it'll burn out. These images are really pictures of us. We're all broken reeds and wicks that are smoldering. Unfortunately, the world often looks at those who are broken as not worth their time. But Jesus sees all people equally. We all need His hand of healing and love. Ultimately, in one way or another, we're all broken people who need Jesus. And the cool thing is, as Jesus heals us, He gives us His eyes to see others that we can help. You know, God gave Jim Elliot and his team God's compassion for the Elka peoples. He saw the Elka peoples needed Jesus, and it would only be Jesus who could change them from a people who killed to a people who loved. The money-making oil companies lost too many lives and they ran away to safety. But Jim knew that the only way the Elkas could change is through the transforming work of Jesus in their lives. Continuing on in verse 3, we read, in faithfulness He will bring justice. This was not the message of deliverance people were expecting to hear. They were expecting Jesus to be a military conqueror, one who would eliminate oppression. However, Jesus came to conquer an eternal problem, rescuing us from sin that separates us from God. Jesus brought justice to the world through dying on the cross. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, who is sinless, paid the penalty of our sin. We see Jesus persevering in verse 4, and I missed that slide on here, so we'll just listen to it. When Jesus was on earth, Jesus had His eyes fixed on the mission God had given Him. The verse itself says, He will not falter or be discouraged. To stay centered, Jesus regularly spent time with the Father. He retreated and got away from the crowd to be refueled. Jim Elliot was persistent. He had a passion for Jesus and a desire to see the gospel reach people. He studied hard. He persevered to make the gospel known. He waited on God. He waited for God's timing and for God to open doors. As Pastor Micah preached last week, we are to wait on the Lord, and then our strength will be renewed. Jesus would retreat after a full day of ministry, of serving, teaching, and healing. He would start off his day in the early morning, connecting with the Father, seeking God's direction. So how can we bring this into our lives so that our strength is renewed, enabling us to persevere? We're on the home stretch here, guys. Isaiah 42, 6 to 9. In Isaiah 42, 6 to 9, I'm going to read it for you, and I want you to listen carefully as I read, because Scripture itself says it all. I don't need to say any more. This is what the Lord says, the Creator of the heavens, who stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I'm the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them. Isaiah was prophesying some 700 years earlier the mission of Jesus. As God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world, to set people free, we are called to point people to Jesus so that others can be set free. We're called to model Christ in all we do and say. We're called to be His servants. If you've never experienced God's amazing grace in your life, if you have not invited Jesus to take control of your life, I'd encourage you to do it today. And I would love to pray with you. For God is speaking to us. And if God is speaking anything to you this morning and you would like prayer, we would love to pray for you. Because we come to church, we want to worship God, and God speaks to us. We want to be able to give opportunity to respond to what God is saying to you. We have a prayer corner in off to the side here, and I'm not sure if Pamela, you're here. We would love to pray for you, and I will be here, and anyone else who'd like to pray. We want to come alongside you as Jesus came alongside. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, I thank you that when you look at us and you look at your people, you don't turn away because we're broken or we're almost snuffed out. But Lord, that you come alongside us and that you nurture us and you love us and you tell us how much you value us. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that empowers us, that leads us, that convicts us, that draws us to yourself. And Lord, I ask that you would give us your eyes to see as we go into our communities in this coming week, to see what you see, Father, that we would be your hands and feet. Lord, we thank you for the prophet Isaiah who spoke of the coming Messiah. I thank you, Father, that we live in the realities of that Messiah today. I thank you, Father, that you transform us and change us. Would you go with us this week, we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.